It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. I'm your host this morning, and today we're going to be joined by Steve Bauer, Director of the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. Steve, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
And also Joan Mellinson from Long-Term Care Partners. Joan, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Bill.
And we're going to talk today about FEA, Federal Employee Education Assistance Fund, and Long-Term Care Partners, and what their organizations do to help federal employees in the federal community, and also to make a special scholarship announcement. Before we get started, I'd like to remind our listeners that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. And also, if you'd like to join our discussion, if you have a question about FEA or Long-Term Care Partners, or you'd just like to participate in this, this is going to be a session where we're going to do a lot of things that talk about the good things that these organizations do for federal employees. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can join us. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333, or you can email us at fedtalk and at federalnewsradio.com. So, Joan, why don't I get started with you, long-term care partners, and the scholarship announcement that I mentioned. Tell us what's going on with that.
Yes, well, we're very, very excited. Long-Term Care Partners, and for some of you who don't know who we are the administrators of the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program, and this is our 10th anniversary, so we've been in existence for 10 years. We also administer BeneFeds, which is a secure website that enables feds to enroll and manage their FedVIP program, which is a fancy way of saying dental and vision insurance program coverage. And both of these programs are under oversight by OPM.
So they are official.
They are official, yes. We're the ones that do that. And we've been doing this, as I said, for 10 years, Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. And we've met Steve Bauer and FEA a number of years ago. In fact, this is our eighth year of working with FEA. We see the value of the feds bring and all the hard work that they do, and that oftentimes unforeseen things happen. And we thought it would be part of our charter to provide some philanthropic types of efforts. So since 2005, we have been working with FEA, providing regional scholarships in the New England area. 12 to be exact. We do 2 1,000 scholarships in each of the New England states. And this year, because times are tough, as we all know, we also wanted to be involved on a national level. And today, I'm very pleased to announce a $5,000 national scholarship that we will be contributing to FEA. So we'll have our regional ones, our 12 regional ones, and a national one.
Well, Joan, that's very generous in all those years of scholarships and giving back to the federal community. We're going to get into a little bit later more about long-term care and what how that works and why and how federal employees can take advantage of the program. Before we do that, Steve, why don't you talk a little bit about FEA? Joan mentioned scholarships, and that's part of FEA, but give us an overview of what FEA does for federal employees in the federal community.
I'd love to, Bill. As you know, we were started 26 years ago. We're a little bit older than Long-Term Care Partners, and we were founded with a mission of providing educational and emergency financial assistance to civilian federal employees and their families, and we've stayed true to that mission for 26 years. We do have an annual scholarship program, which is merit-based, since federal employees are
generally... That means the people that receive the scholarships have competed for them, and the only the best get them?
Only the best of the best. The children of federal employees and federal employees themselves tend to make fantastic applicants. It's very tough, but when we say merit-based, it means it's not based on income, because federal employees are that great middle class, which is too rich to get financial aid and too poor to send your kid to college. So that's why we set up the program that way. We now provide some $500,000 a year in scholarships every year to federal employees and their families. And about 15% of the applicants and scholarship winners are federal employees continuing their education. Sometimes the way the world is going, they have to continue their education, and agency funds for continuing education have been drying up over the years. But also, I think the heart and soul of what we do is what we call the emergency financial assistance. We're there when big natural disasters strike, whether it's a bombing of a federal building in Oklahoma City, Hurricane Katrina tearing through the Gulf Coast. But we also do day-to-day emergencies, and I think that's very important. It can be something as simple as ex-spouse loses their job and stops paying child support, and suddenly a federal employee, single parent with two kids, can't pay the rent. It can be a death in the family. It can be an illness of a child. All the situations that can happen to anyone, and FEA is there to help.
So did you, Steve, when did you find an increased demand for your services during the, I guess we're still in a recovery from a financial collapse. Did you find that FEA's services were called upon greater, more so than they had been in the past?
In the last 5 years, our emergency assistance for individual emergencies has tripled from about $250,000 a year to $700,000 a year. Definitely signs of the time in terms of spouses losing jobs, of federal employees not getting raises for several years. I mean, the list goes on and on, and folks need help literally.
So you've tripled your what you pay out in emergency assistance. Where do you get your money to do that, Steve?
It's from a lot of sources, but one of the biggest is the combined federal campaign. And our motto is federal employees helping federal employees.
And that's going on right now.
It is going on right now, and some people don't understand the process, but for us, it's pretty simple. If you are in a combined federal campaign anywhere in the country, and you designate some or all of your pledge to FEA, pledge number 11185, that money will come to FEA. It's interesting, in those last 5 years where our emergency assistance has tripled, our CFC donations have been flat, also a sign of the time. So we're really putting a push on this year for us to continue to help all the federal employees that need help and not turn anyone down. We're going to need increased combined federal campaign contributions.
So is there anyone else out there that you essentially are a charity for federal employees.
We are exactly a charity for federal employees. We are 501c3. We're not a government agency. We don't get government funds. So in addition to people like our good friends and long-term care partners who contribute to our scholarship program and have announced an increase here today, we have other corporate sponsors, people that do business with federal employees. I've learned to love federal employees because they know what they do every day for America, and they contribute. GEICO has been a long-standing partner, providing us money for emergency assistance every year, and Blue Cross Blue Shield has been our largest scholarship donor for many years, and they also chip in when natural disasters occur. So they just announced another $35,000 donation to help us from Hurricane Isaac.
But you really do need federal employees to take care of themselves by contributing as well.
As I said, it's federal employees helping federal employees. It is the rock of our donations. When people contribute in the CFC, one of the beauties of it is we know how much money we're going to have next year because people are contributing through payroll deductions over the following 12 months. So we can plan. We know how much money's available for scholarships. We know how much we have for emergency assistance. And that money will come in month after month after month throughout the year.
And, of course, Joan, your announcement of the fairly large scholarship, it just helps all of this effort that that FEA does. And FEA is a charity, long-term care partners, administers the Federal Employees Long-Term Care Program. So you're kind of different organizations, but we're here together, and we're not like taking FIA for half an hour and long-term care. We're doing you guys together. And that's kind of interesting to me that you're, and you seem to both be there helping the federal community in some way.
Well, most people would say it's kind of ironic that you have a philanthropic charitable organization sitting here with an insurance provider. And in a sense, it does sound like an oxymoron. But in fact, we do very similar things. FIA helps people not only when disaster strikes, but also for helping kids with scholarship support. But Long-Term Care Partners and the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program is there to help federal employees when they need help, and that's in paying out the claims. And we've been in existence for 10 years now, and that's the reason why people purchase this product, to have help financially, emotionally, and physically if they need long-term care assistance.
I'm joined today by Steve Bauer of the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund and Joan Melanson from Long-Term Care Partners. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that Geico isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how Geico actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, Geico saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
Well, welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm joined today by Joan Melanson from Long-Term Care Partners and Steve Bauer from the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call toll-free at 1-877-936-9333 or email us your questions at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, Steve, getting back a little bit to the scholarships that program that Joan is part of your network of people that help out with that. How does somebody get one of these scholarships? How does the process go?
It's the same basic process for all of our different programs. In this day and age, people go to FIA.org, FEEA.org. And on the homepage, for those needing emergency assistance, they can click on Get Help Now. And then there's a whole scholarship section. Our scholarship applications are not available right now, but information is there on the site. The reason is our open period for scholarship applications is from January 1st till the end of March. Those dates will be, so the applications will be available on January 1st. People download the application from our website. Complete it with the information that they need, a recommendation, a transcript. They write an essay every year. The topic changes. It's always about government, but it's not a research project. And they send their applications into us. Then we send them out after we've processed them in our headquarters to 27 different regional committees. One, is, in fact, is in Germany to handle overseas application. But we have committees in New York and Philadelphia and L.A. and San Francisco and Denver and Dallas and Houston and so on. And those committees are volunteers. So we have hundreds of people actually working on these applications as volunteers. Helps us keep our administrative costs down. They are federal employees, retired federal employees. People from Blue Cross Blue Shield or Long-Term Care Partner can participate on these.
And I'd like to jump in on that, Steve, because we've participated on the New England committee for the last 8 years. And I have to tell you, the applications are more than impressive. And each year, they get more and more impressive. The feds that are asking for assistance are dynamite. And you read through it and you say, how does one choose? They're all so amazing, and the bar just keeps raising more and more. And the most exciting thing is to be able to call them and say that you have a scholarship and you're getting some assistance. They're so appreciative.
That's what I've noticed. I've seen some of the scholarship award winners receive their awards over the years, that they really are appreciative, and they are very, very impressive. Particularly the children of federal employees. It's amazing what they've been able to accomplish and what the next generation has to contribute, I think. Joan, let's talk a little bit about long-term care. Tell us about your program overall. What is it? How does it work?
Sure. My favorite topic. The Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program is the federal benefit, and federal employees and spouses, retirees, annuitants, and eligible family members, as well as members of the of the uniformed services and their spouses, are all eligible to apply for the program. It covers the cost of long-term care.
What is that?
And what is that? People oftentimes associate that with nursing home care, but actually only about 20% of our claims are paid for nursing home care. People want to age in place. They want to be at home. And it covers the costs of home health care, adult daycare, assisted living care facilities, so mostly community-based. The most differentiating feature of this program is that a good portion of our home health care is provided and can be provided by informal family care members, which means that you can have family members, you can have neighbors, friends come in, provide the services, and the insurance will pay for that.
And how does somebody sign up for the...
How does someone sign up? Well, everything is on our website. That's www.ltcfeds.com. And if you go online, you'll have more information than you can imagine about long-term care, about long-term care insurance, and about the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program. And there's an option to look at our online consultant tool to help you learn more about it. You can look at our webinar series that will help educate about long-term care and its role in retirement planning. And we have a rate sheet there, so you can see what the benefits, different benefits and different plans cost, as well as an application, and you can apply directly online.
Joan, I know you were on Fed Talk when you had the open season, which I guess was just last year, mm-hmm. where people could sign up and have an easier sort of underwriting obligation. Now, are people confused that they could only sign up during the open season? Because they can sign up now as well.
You're right? Absolutely right. People love open seasons. First of all, most of the benefits that you have are open season type things, and everybody has enrollment from November to December. In fact, we do attend the health fairs as well. But during the open seasons, and we've only had two of them since the inception of the program, the first in 2002 and then 2011, the application is shorter. There are seven questions. And so people have the feeling, and it is, in fact, it's easier with seven questions. Some people may not qualify if they fill out the whole application. And there's a time limit. People feel an urgency to apply during open season. Having said that, you can apply at any time filling out 40 questions. And as long as you're healthy, it's a matter of answering a lot of underwriting questions.
And then if you qualify, you get the long-term care coverage if you ever need it.
Absolutely. The way it works is that if you are accepted into the program, you pay your premiums until you need the services. And at that point, we waive premiums.
You waive premiums and you get your benefits paid.
And you get your benefits,
so,
yes.
So what's the typical age that somebody is when they purchase long-term care insurance, and the typical age when they actually need the benefits?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And that's really the difficulty of this product, because the average age in our last open season was 53. It hovers anywhere between 51 and 53. So you're talking to someone who's very vibrant and healthy and working, and you're talking about a product where the average age for benefits is 73. So it's a little bit of a disconnect because somebody's saying, why are you talking to me about something that I won't need for 20 years on average, and I have need to pay out between now and then? Now, that's an average number because actually a third of the benefits that are paid out are for someone under the age of 65. But there is a perception when you're sitting at 50 that why would I even be thinking about this product?
And of course, the answer to the question is?
You're healthy now, and the premiums are much more affordable. Let me just give you a quick example. If you were looking at our, and you asked what's sort of typical, so 53 was the average age during the last open season, and we have four prepackaged plans. One of them is Plan B, which we call kind of the Taurus. It's the very affordable, solid plan.
You're referring to the car, the Taurus.
Yes, but ours is Plan B. We don't have anything fancy. We have Plan A, B, C, and D.
Okay.
And at age 50, that particular plan, and that would be for $150 a day for 3 years with a 4% compound inflation, because that $150 would be growing over, if you're purchasing at age 50 and you don't use it till you're 70, you don't want it to remain at $150. It would be $42 biweekly, and it could be deducted from your paycheck. If you go up to age 55, that goes up to age 53. Not that big of a jump, but the older you get, the jumps get bigger and bigger. So as to answer your question, Bill, it's very affordable when you're young, and you're more likely to be healthy.
You're more likely to qualify.
By being healthy, right. Because you don't have to be in perfect health, but there are certain conditions, such as having MS and Parkinson's and dementia, that if you have that, you will not qualify, unfortunately.
Okay. And Steve, get back to FIA. We talked about the scholarships that long-term care is helping out with. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the scholarships that you've had over the years, and particularly what one of the things that FIA has done is to help the children of everyone who lost a parent at Oklahoma City or the Pentagon on 9/11. Can you talk about those programs and what FIA does for those scholarships? Those are not merit-based.
That's correct. The way you qualify for those is you don't want to, but you qualify by having your parent go to work one day and not come home. In Oklahoma City, we lost 168 people, virtually all of them federal employees. They left behind 200 children. FIA committed through what we call the OK Fund to provide a full college scholarship.
And that was in 1995
April 19th, 1995 in Oklahoma City. There was a child born 3 months after the bombing, so we're not done with this program yet. But I'm very proud to say that we've already put 190 children through college, whatever school they could get into. It could be Harvard, but more likely it's been Oklahoma State University. And we have been able to provide, in addition to that, another $5,000 for graduate school for those kids if they continue beyond their four-year college education. They've gone to community colleges. They are so appreciative to this day.
And so you've been able to take care of every one of them.
And we will finish the job over the next 6 or 7 years. We'll have the very last one of those children through college. The gift of education is the least we can do for these kids. 9/11, a lot of people don't realize most of the people that died in the Pentagon, not far from here, were civilian federal employees. We lost some soldiers and we lost some sailors, no airmen, but most of the people were civilian federal employees, again, who went to work one day and never came home. Their children, and there's about 55 of them, are getting full college scholarships from us as well.
And then you're paying all of their expenses, whereas the other scholarship program, the merit-based scholarship, you're limited to a dollar amount that you award to these deserving applicants.
Absolutely. It's a flat amount based on how much money we have. In fact, we should mention, we talked about the combined federal campaign and people pledging to us. We return the money, the CFC donations, under our merit-based program, where they came from. If we get more money in New England, New England has more scholarships. If we get more money in Texas, Texas has more scholarships. That's truly federal employees helping federal employees.
So all around the country, as people listen to Fed Talk or come to the website and download the show, they can recognize that if they contribute to CFC in their area, it's going to help scholarships in their area.
Absolutely, as long as they put 11185 on their pledge card.
and contribute. And it is truly an example of federal employees helping federal employees. So we have to take another break. I'm talking with Joan Mellinson from Long-Term Care Partners, Steve Bauer from the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, and this is Fed Talk on 1500 AM.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Geico's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from Geico. If you're a federal employee or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Bill Bransford, your host this morning. I'm joined by Joan Mellinson from Long-Term Care Partners, Steve Bauer from the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. If you have a question for us, you'd like to join in our discussion, please give us a call at 1-877-936-9333 or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, Joan, I'm going to talk in a few minutes to Steve about some more about the emergency assistance, and then in particular under times of disaster. But, we talked before about how you sign up and you get payroll deduction, you make your payments, you get this protection. Tell us a little bit about the claims and how you pay out your claims, how you help people in times of need. And then we're going to have Steve talk about that from what FIA does in times of need.
Excellent question, Bill. Oftentimes people will say, so you're talking to me, I'm 50 years old. You're talking to me about paying for something that I might not ever use, or it might be I might be 73 or 80. You know, what do I get for this? Yeah, I have to pay this every single paycheck, and it's not an inexpensive purchase. I do now have an opportunity to talk about, after our 10th year anniversary, all the claims that we've paid out, and that's the reason that you purchased this product, is for the claims paying aspect. We have paid over 10,000 claims to date. Currently, we are paying $6.5 million a month. And since the inception of the program, that's 10 years now, and we're still a very young program, and people, this is going to increase and increase year after year, we've paid over $250 million. So in terms of helping people from a financial perspective, and that's only one aspect of it, this is really helping people in their time of need.
And the types of claims you mentioned, you home care, nursing homes, things like that. It kind of depends on what the person, what they need and where their situation is.
What happens is that you call when you need what they say help in activities of daily living. And if you need help with two of these, typically things like bathing, eating, dressing, then you're what we call eligible for claim. You work with one of our care coordinators, and this is a registered nurse who is assigned to you, to develop a plan of care, because your needs may, and family situation may be very different than mine and very different from Steve's. So you want to work on what's going to help in terms of your needs and your situation. And it may mean that home health care works well for you the whole time, or it may mean that assisted living care or an adult daycare situation. But you work out a plan of need of plan of care that may change and probably will change over time. But typically, people want to age in place. They want to be at home. And as I said, you're going to find that 80% of claims are paid in a home or community-based setting.
Okay. And Steve, so you talked about the emergency assistance for people, like if their spouse loses their job or they have another financial problem. What do you do for those people?
We make payments generally to a creditor for basic needs. No different there, but we're talking about rent, utilities, putting food on the table. In a case like that, sometimes they're made as no interest loans, sometimes as grants. In the case of natural disasters, which occur, they're always grants. But we will actually make the check to the mortgage company so they won't be evicted. Or they won't be foreclosed on.
So you'll take care of their mortgage payment or their rent.
Exactly.
To the actual person who's supposed to receive it.
Exactly. So that way we know, because we're helping people long distance in many cases, we're not supporting a drug habit, nothing against these people, or alcoholism. We want to be sure if the person's coming to us for help because they might be evicted, that their rent is paid. So we make the check out to the landlord and get that rent paid.
And how does somebody find, how do they even learn that benefit or exists?
Well, we rely on a lot of organizations, on our board of directors, very interestingly, our management associations and unions. We have from AFGE, NTEU, and NEFI. We have the Senior Executive Association, Federal Managers Association, FAA Managers Association, Professional Managers Association. We charge our board with going out to their memberships and be sure that people know. But if anything keeps me awake at night, it's federal employees that need help and don't know about us, and therefore we don't help. We want to always be there for federal employees when they're in need.
So if a federal employee is in need and they're listening to this radio show today, what should they do? They're in need. How do they get help?
They would go to feea.org, and on the homepage it says Get Help Now, and that will bring them to the application. They do have to submit documentation that they're a federal employee, for example, what their income is, what their need is, and why they have that need. Remember, we don't help everybody in the sense that we don't do debt consolidation. It's an emergency assistance program. These are people that something untoward has happened to that was not predictable. It could be that created either a loss of income or a great additional expense. It may be a car repair, transmission drops. They have no extra money. Without the car, they can't get to work.
So, and how does the no interest loan, I mean, if you pay this somebody's rent, they're going to take out a no-interest loan. How does that work? How does that process?
We have them fill out an allotment form, and we have them pay us back basically over 10 months, almost a year. The one thing we never want to do is to have somebody pay us back and put them back in the same spot they're trying to get out of, to have a problem. So if their rent is $700 and we pay a $700 check to their landlord, they would sign up for an allotment that will come to fee at $35 a pay period. So the $700 will be paid off over 10 months. We don't do any credit checks. We don't have really any enforcement rights, if you will. Yet federal employees are very proud. They like the fact that somebody was there to help them. And they realize that by paying the loan back, that will help somebody else down the road. So we have well over 90% of our loans paid back to us.
So that's one way you do emergency assistance. You also mentioned grants. Are these grants paid back, or are they?
No, the grants are not paid back. It's an outright gift, if you will. We do that typically, but not always, or not exclusively in times of natural disaster. Hurricane Katrina affected a tremendous number of feds. We helped 4,000 federal employees.
With $1.8 million.
You know that number, yes.
And where did that money come from, Steve?
Again, CFC, individual donations. People can give online, which is very nice. We mentioned feea.org. There is, again, right on the homepage, Give Now. We have people that give to us in one-time donations, and they can specify for a specific cause. But we also have people that do monthly donations, either because they're not a federal employee, they're retired, they don't utilize the CFC for personal reasons. And in fact, we have a program called Friends of FEA, where people make a monthly donation to FEEA via credit card and can set it up automatically on our website. And that money helps tremendously.
And so if somebody, you know, $1.8 million for 4,000 federal employees during Katrina, seems like a lot of money. But then you have other hurricanes that are maybe also costly in far as the grants, but they don't get the publicity that Katrina got. And how do you collect for them?
Sometimes we don't, which is a problem for us. This year, we had Hurricane Isaac. If you remember Hurricane Isaac, it was kind of in the news for one day. And that was because it was the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Then it disappeared from the front pages. Well, the people that needed help didn't disappear. We have already helped 544 federal employees. We've spent about $80,000 down there so far. We're still getting applications from people. It certainly was not the flooding from Katrina, but it was a lot of wind damage. And what was interesting, what we found out is people that owned their own home and had damage to their homes, their insurance, homeowners insurance policies, which they must have if they have a mortgage, have incredibly high deductibles. It's the only way they could get homeowners insurance. And one gentleman who had $12,000 in damage to his home, he sent in the estimate of the damages, pictures, and he sent in his insurance policy. His deductible was $14,250. So he is out of pocket that entire amount just to get his home livable again.
So is he eligible for a FEA grant?
He has received a grant. We process applications usually within a day or two at the most.
And how does someone apply for a grant? What do they have to do?
It's the same basic application even as the loan application. But there's an addendum to that asking for natural disasters for a grant. What was the damage? What's your evidence of that damage? What kind of insurance do you have? And what are you left holding the bag with, if you will? What happened to you?
And you also have to prove you're a federal employee.
Yes, exactly. Same application. They will submit an SF-50 showing they're a federal employee and a pay stub and information about their family.
Mm-hmm. So the Friends of FEA program that you talked about, what somebody signs up for that and they can pay each month rather than CFC, or they can do both?
Oh, absolutely. And we do have people that do both. But again, those that can't participate in the CFC, non-federal employees, retirees, we haven't even mentioned we have some programs for retirees. We don't forget about federal employees when they retire either. As long as they join, because they have to be a member of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees, NARF. They're also on our board. We have a scholarship program for children and grandchildren.
For NARF
members, and we also do natural disaster assistance for NARF members. When you're a retiree on a fixed income, it's a very important program. They are not financed through the CFC at all. They're financed through donations from NARF members and NARF itself.
So, Steve, give me an idea of some of the disasters over the years, the types of disasters that you've helped federal employees out with grants because of their homes or their lives have been damaged in some way.
Well, many of the listeners from right here, we just had the earthquake on the East Coast. There was damage to a number of people's homes. We have done earthquakes, fires, forest fires. We've had all over the country. We've had them in Los Alamos. We've had them in Colorado. We've had them in Southern California, where people have had their homes burned to the ground. Even when you have insurance, there's so many associated expenses, so much of a problem that we have helped people in all of those. We've had typhoons. In Guam, for example, a lot of federal employees work in Guam. People are all over the world. So we've had the floods in the Midwest, Red River, Mississippi, Ohio, the hurricanes that blow through, and they can be anywhere in the country, but particularly the East Coast and the Gulf area. So it's not limited to any one kind of disaster, and you can think of a natural disaster FEA will be there to help federal employees. And federal employees are everywhere. People forget about that 85% of them are not in D.C.
And one of the stories I've heard you tell over the years, Steve, is how Hurricane Andrew, or back in the 90s, FEA was there to help federal employees that were affected by a very, very serious hurricane. What did you do? What did FEA do for
It was my first experience with that, basically. And in 92, Hurricane Andrew blew through southern Florida, basically wiped out the town of Homestead, Florida, just south of Miami, but also affected Miami. I got a call from somebody in Homestead and said, we need you down here, Steve, and you need to bring cash. And I kind of hesitated and explained why, and it actually made sense. So went to the bank, got $20,000 in $50 and $100 bills from FIA's bank account, got on a plane in Denver to fly to Miami. In 92, of course, we were fighting a drug war, not a war on terrorism.
Security must have been great on that one.
It took me a long time to get through security. I was not letting that $20,000 out of my sight that was in my pocket. Finally got through, got to Miami. But you think of profiling, a nervous white guy carrying $20,000 in cash, checking it all the time.
To the Miami area.
To the Miami International Airport. Sure enough, I landed and got picked up by the U.S. Customs Service, as they were called back then. But there was a reason for that. They picked me up in a Black Hawk helicopter that they used for drug interdiction because it was the only way to get me down to Homestead. And why the people needed cash? There was no electricity. There wasn't going to be for 3 weeks. They had to buy things like water. There was no ATMs. Think about it. If there's no electricity, there's no ATMs. There were two branches of Homestead Savings and Loan. They had literally been wiped from the face of the earth. So we helped people to buy water, buy generators they needed for medical equipment. It was a very rewarding situation. And what really struck me is that we were helping federal families where the federal employee was working despite the fact they lost their house, their car, were worried about their families. They were out helping others.
And FIA has continued to be there ever since for federal employees and continues to need federal employees' help.
Every time there is a need, so far we've been able to be there.
Okay, we're going to take a short break here. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
This is Bill Bransford. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And today we're talking with Joan Mellinson from Long-Term Care Partners and Steve Bauer from the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund. Joan, you were talking earlier about how somebody calls in and they talk to one of your registered nurses and they figure things out. This one, as you were talking about that, it occurred to me that it must be difficult for people who sense a need to understand what's available to them. And I think we should maybe talk a little bit more about that service you provide, because that's got to make people rest easier, feel more comfortable as they go through and figure out, well, what will work for me and what won't.
Absolutely. We call it the long-term care maze. And I've been in this industry for years, since the 90s. And I personally have gone through it just recently with my mother. You think you know it, and you do know it sort of esoterically, but when you're in the situation itself, it's more than the financial. It's very, very emotional, and it's very stressful. And, you know, you can go on a website and find out everything you want to know about everything. But the bottom line is you want to know what makes sense for you personally. We have care coordinators who are on the phone advising people who call in, and it's not going to be the claimant. It's not going to be the person who needs long-term care. It's going to be the very worried family members who call up, many of whom may not live near their mother or father or the person who needs the care. We provide a service that allows family members to call and ask questions. What do I do? I'm worried about my mom. I'm worried about my dad. These are this is what's happening. What kinds of facilities might you recommend? I'm down here in Florida and my mother's out in Missouri, and I have no idea what the landscape is like there. So the service that comes, it's much more than the finances. We do pay for claims. But it's the information. It's navigating. It's helping somebody say, here are your choices. I would suggest that, you know, you look at this. If you're my mom, they helped me for my mom. She has Alzheimer's. What's the type of facility that is best for her in my area? And it makes all the difference in the world. It takes that whole stress weight off you when somebody is there to say, I can help you through this. Makes a big difference.
Okay, and you find that people respond to that service?
They love it. We do, because it's an OPM program, we have a metric for everything. How long it takes us to answer the phone, and how fast we have to pay our claims within 5 days. And I tell you, 20 metrics, very stringent. And we get paid. If we miss any of those metrics, we get dinged on our profit. So we take it very, very seriously. And one of the measures that we have is customer satisfaction. So if you call for a claim, we administer a survey, and that's looked at. And on a 5-point scale, we get at least 4.5 all the time. But that's not only for claims. It's for underwriting, customer services, for everything that we do. We have metrics. They're very important to OPM. They're very important to us.
So it's very interesting, Joan, because you are an OPM overseen program, and Steve doesn't get anything from the government, but CFC, the Combined Federal Campaign, is a campaign that is overseen by the Office of Personnel Management. So there's that link, but they come in very different ways, since OPM doesn't. I mean, OPM just distributes the funds based upon how they are contributed by the employees.
Exactly. In fact, we're treated no differently than any of the other 4,000 charities in the Combined Federal Campaign.
So what happens if somebody goes and participates in the Combined Federal Campaign and they don't write down 11185?
Well, if they designate to another charity, it will go to that charity. If they do not designate any charity, it is divvied up among the charities in that campaign who got donations based on the same percentage of donations that that charity had designated to them. So we could actually get a bonus, if you will, from people that don't designate if more people do designate. If FIA has 5% of the designations in a campaign, we will get 5% of the money that is not designated to any particular charity.
So all the more reason to write down 11185 for FIA during the Combined Federal Campaign. How do these Combined Federal Campaigns work? Talk a little bit about that. How, I mean, OPM oversees them, and they set them up in different parts of the country, but how does a federal employee find out about it? I assume there's signs on the wall and things like that, but you know, what goes on during Combined Federal Campaign season?
Well, it varies tremendously. First of all, there are 200 separate Combined Federal Campaigns, and they're all run independently, if you will, under OPM rules. Some are much larger. Some are fairly small, but they all have the same elements to them. They kick off anywhere from September 1st to mid-October. They're supposed to stay open for 6 weeks. Employees find out what charities via either online, or they actually get a book of the charities that are available in their area. As I mentioned earlier, FIA is available everywhere, as other national charities are, but they may have a local soup kitchen that's only in their campaign in Austin, Texas, for example, because it's a local charity. Then there's the pledge card. It may be a paper pledge card. More and more agencies are moving online, where people will go on, for example, for Employee Express, and the pledge card will be there. They fill it out. Hopefully they do payroll deductions. I'm a retired Fed. When I started, I did $1 a pay period, a big deal, $26 a year. By the time I retired, I was giving over $1,000 a year without even noticing it, because my payroll deductions had gone up year after year after year. It's a wonderful way to give without feeling the hurt, if you will. When I retired, I had to write a check to FIA, so to continue my contributions, and that check was over $1,000. That's when you realize the power of payroll deductions.
It's so if somebody signs up for this, are there meetings, are there informational sessions where they can learn more about their options?
Often agencies will have CFC fairs, and we try to attend as many of those as we can. Not all of them do. Some of them will have employee meetings, and we often get to speak at those and love to be invited to them. I've done a number of them this year already, as has the D.C. staff throughout D.C. But some agencies, it really depends on how much emphasis they put on it, who the director is of that location, and how much time they have to spend on it. Some don't do an awful lot. I was at an FAA conference earlier this week. Those guys are in the towers. One guy said, last year I missed the CFC totally. I had changed from one facility where we really pushed it. We had meetings about it. We made a big deal out of it to another facility where apparently they must have sent out an email to employees at some point, and he missed it and forgot about it and actually never even made a pledge. And he's going to be sure to do so this year. But there's great variance in how much emphasis is put on it.
And one of the things I know FIA has also done, Steve, is you have some special funds and programs with agencies like the State Department. I think there's a Fallen Diplomats Fund. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Fallen Diplomats Fund has been around for a long time now. It actually was started up in an agreement with the State Department that we have after the embassy bombings in Africa. What happens is when there's a tragedy in the United States, it's big news and it stays big news. Mm-hmm. When there's a tragedy overseas, it's just quickly in the papers and then it tends to disappear unless there's some kind of scandal involved with it. But so donations tend not to be as big. So we set up a special fund called the Fallen Diplomats Fund. We're providing scholarships to children who were of parents who died overseas at the hands of terrorists while on a diplomatic mission. We've had church bombings in Pakistan, and most recently we had the consulate attack in Benghazi. While the ambassador did not have any children, two of the former Navy SEALs had five children between them that died in that terrible attack.
So what will this Fallen Diplomats Fund do for them?
Right now we are providing $8,500 a year scholarships to each of those children. We'd love to increase that to do a full-cost scholarship like we can do for Oklahoma and Pentagon. But again, people have to give to that fund. That doesn't come out of CFC funds. It's special donations. When people go to our website, the diplomatic fund is there listed, and they can say, I want this for the diplomatic fund. They could even pick one of the two families to designate that money to as well. But again, when things happen overseas, people tend to forget about it. Right now, it's more of the scandal of who knew what, when, and why, as opposed to, oh, my God, we lost a couple of very brave federal employees who left children behind, and we need to help them.
And do you have any funds with other agencies as well?
We have a myriad of funds for all different purposes. They're all listed on our website if you go to FIA.org. Where you can give. And if you hit give now and you want to give via credit card or check or monthly donations from a credit card, you can actually scroll down the list, get a description of each of the funds, and pick a particular fund. For example, the 9/11 fund, Pentagon, Oklahoma. But we have funds that help people from particular agencies via agreement. Social Security has an agreement with us. So we have all these different kind of funds. And sometimes people raise funds for us in other ways. We just had two golf tournaments this month, one put on by IRS employees on their own time again, and one put on by Compass Rose that are raising money for us as well. People find very innovative ways to give. Often at a retirement, somebody will say, I don't want any retirement gifts. Make a donation to FIA, and people donate on their behalf.
All good ideas. We are just about out of time. Joan, real quick, how does somebody sign up for long-term care and learn more information about the program?
You go to www.ltcfeds.com, or you can call us at 1-800-LTC-FEDS. And I do want to say I am so honored to be, our organization is very honored to be associated with FIA. Every time I hear Steve talk, it's no wonder that the donations come in. The work that's being done,
Steve,
is amazing.
Steve, just the last few seconds, that number again for the combined federal campaign?
CFC number 11185 and FEA.org.
And I would note that FIA is the charity of the month on WTOP, sister station to Federal News Radio. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.